Ian is supposed to be like 14.
And
so that would make her much older.
And they even say at the end of that Captain America really did spend a decade in Zolan,
yes,
as far as
he
is concerned.
They carbon date him somehow.
Yeah, they carbon date his shirt.
Yeah, well, you can carbon date anything.
Yeah.
I mean, a skin cell, hair cell, whatever.
You had Remender Captain America right now.
It's really good, actually.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, it's been a really good
story.
The thing
about Rick Remender, more so than most writers, he gets into some convoluted bullshit.
Remender, what's the most appealing aspect of his writing to me is he never does anything half-assed.
No.
He always has a long-term plan.
Yes.
His X-Force run, I firmly
that
believe that during his X-Force run, he had this Uncanny Avengers thing in mind when
absolutely.
That was happening.
I like the long-term run stuff if you're going back and reading it. Reading it monthly, that could be an issue.
You know,
but
comics have always done that, though.
Well, what I'm saying is, yeah, monthly it just seems it takes forever.
It plods along.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint about Remender is actually that he does all these big, mega, super events, but you never stick. None of these things stay.
Not really.
Well,
don't.
No, a couple of his things, you gotta think about Angel is still super messed up in the head.
Yeah.
Psylocke still has no feelings.
True.
Deadpool has legitimately become, like, not as crazy as he was after Remender pretty much.
But he destroyed the Earth and switched that back.
That's not going to stick.
That's
he
not
killed
gonna
all these characters and switched that back.
That's not
going to
really
happen. Sure, he remembers spending 10 years, but it didn't have any impact
Phantom
on, like...
Phantom X? Like,
but it's still having an impact, though.
Yeah.
Psychologically,
but
on the books he writes, but other than
the
that,
books
what else?
Well, Captain America's going away as far as him having the serum. That's all part
of
it, going to Zolo.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Hey, that's not going to stick.
Exactly.
Not forever. This is also forever.
If you're looking at the Rick Remender universe as something separate from the Marvel universe, sure, it's great. But then, like, none of this crap has anything at all.
But that's
not
from comic books in general. Superman is not.
Is that Rick's,
Rick's
Remender's
fault?
Exactly.
Why read the death of Superman?
No, it's not.
They at least
not,
like, had 20 origins.
At least with the death of Superman.
Year.
No.
Go ahead.
At least with the death of Superman, like, he was dead for a while. Other characters acknowledged that he was dead. They kept him out of the Justice League, shit like that. Cap's still running around as Cap in the fucking Avengers book right now.
But that hasn't happened.
Every other part of the Marvel Universe effectively ignores whatever it was Rick Remender just did.
Well, no, because the next solicitation for Avengers, Cap is old.
Yeah.
It's going to catch
up. Later thing.
Well, yeah, it's catching up to everything.
And that's the problem. It takes too long to catch up.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Can you really blame Rick Remender that his shit doesn't stick? I mean, can you really...
Yeah, that's not really his fault.
I mean, because it's bad.
Unless he's a fool, he knows this crap is not going to stay. He renames most of it himself.
Okay.
Like, he renames it. Being eaten by a celestial, that was like a big shocking moment, but everyone, including him, must have known there's no way this is going to mean anything.
But it still made for a good story as far as him building Planet X and then the aftermath of that.
I didn't think Planet X was all that good. It was just like, I've seen this 1,000 times before, and all these characters were acting completely out of character on this planet.
I totally agree with that, but there were still appealing aspects to that run.
Absolutely.
There always will be.
Yeah.
Always will
be. But nothing ever sticks. I mean, come on, guys.
Right. Professor X is
going
to go back to
Asgard. Always understand
it won't stick. Even if it doesn't stick, as long as there's, like, they do something with it. Like, we all knew Peter Parker was going to come back eventually, but they did a whole year, and they had, like, other characters acknowledged. Where, like, they ran with it, and, like, they had
sort of
spin
out of it.
That was just
their way of doing a non-douchey reboot of Peter Parker. They just needed to make his life crap again.
But here's the thing, though. Captain America had what? First, he turned in, or he was supposedly dead.
Yes.
And then, of course,
and he was
Bucky
gone for
Barnes.
Comics for what, 2 years?
About that. Bucky Barnes takes over as Captain America.
No.
Hang on a minute.
Let's go back even further with Cap.
Well, what I'm saying
Cap originally died and came back.
Yes.
And nobody griped him when he joined the Avengers.
Yeah. Right.
Back in the 60s.
Well, hang on a minute.
Why would they now? This is the Square Table, episode 43.
So why would they now?
America.
I'm Gomer.
I'm Jules.
Taylor. I am Groot.
God,
Steve. No, what I'm getting at is they just did that with Bucky Barnes taking over as Captain America.
Yes.
And what's it been? Two and a half, three years?
It's been a while.
And now
they had him be in the Avengers.
No.
They did stuff with it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I understand it. What I'm saying is now we're 2-3 years from that, and now Cap is turning old.
Yeah.
I wish they would have done it with someone else.
What do you mean? Made someone else old?
Take a different character and... kill them off, basically.
Yeah.
Or put them
well,
in a different
the thing
way.
That they're doing
we still
with
having
this...
a problem, but we still got the problem with yeah. Nick Fury.
Oh, that I'm not even. So, I don't even want to go to the original Sin Nick Fury.
Yeah, no.
So, see
but,
what I'm saying, though?
But the whole thing. Was
they're
too,
ripping out the super soldier serum out of Cap, and he's aging.
Yeah.
But he's still going to be there to
yeah, help
talk to the new
yeah,
Captain
yeah.
America.
Right.
That wasn't there when the Bucky yeah. became
well,
Captain America. So it
about,
is
like, it, there's
a bit different.
Nice
after 70 years of continuity, it's hard to come up with an original
no,
story.
No, I'm not looking for an original story that way. It,
yeah.
It's like, okay, he's had his super soldier serum screwed up before where he got the armor and
yes,
all that.
Yes.
You're always going to have to read. You're always.
Yeah, okay.
Let's
not go there.
You're always,
yeah,
but
like
you're
you.
Always going to have something to
Maybe
keep the story. There's nothing wrong with the plot. It's just who it is.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
can they have done really somebody
that was the name of it.
Else
name without a country.
Is what I'm
That's
saying.
The best way to
this
describe
soon. To me,
yeah.
it just seems it's too soon for this to be happening to Captain America.
Yeah,
no, I wish they would have done
well,
something
aside
a little
from that,
different.
The death of Captain America was a much bigger deal, I think,
no, I agree.
To Marvel, the Marvel universe as a whole.
Right, I think oh, yeah. it was much better executed.
Oh,
it?
I think it was. Oh,
yeah.
Well, this hasn't been executed yet,
yeah.
but it was very well executed. I
oh,
totally
yes,
agree,
I
agree with you.
Yeah, that was a great storyline in there.
This,
I think. Turned
this,
out really well.
This thing happening to Captain America, I think, is more localized to just the Captain America books and just happens to spread into the rest of the Marvel universe just because Captain America is in so many damn
right.
books.
Right.
Yeah, well, but I don't think it's going to have that big of an influence on Avengers or New Avengers like the death of Captain America did on the Avengers and the New Avengers.
Well, I think it's them trying to pull back.
Right.
Yes.
But
lots of the way Death of Wolverine
here's the way I'm kind of
that's
looking
how
at
Spider-Man.
It.
Spider-Man,
yeah.
when they killed him, it was to pull back because
right.
everything had already been done. They
but,
needed to sort of
but here's
whitewash
where I'm looking
it a bit.
At, it looks almost like what they did with Batgirl, turning her into Oracle.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're doing it right now with Grayson too.
Well,
Nightwing's
exactly.
becoming.
He's
oh yeah, he's like James Bond.
Super.
Now.
Yeah. yeah. Super spy.
He's Winter
yeah.
So I
so
mean,
everything's got to change.
Right. I
yeah.
mean, Captain America is a great tactician. He could basically be the next
Nick
Fury.
Fury.
But he'd be a more
morality.
There you go. Thank
yeah.
you. He'd
yeah.
be more level. He will go where he has
Nick
to go
Fury
when
lives,
he has to
Nick
go.
Fury lives in the gray area.
Yes.
And,
right.
And
well, I think
Cap would probably, Steve Rogers would probably be more in the
stay,
white.
Yeah, he'll stay in the light.
Yeah.
But he will go to the gray or even to the dark because he used to kill.
Yeah, he
you
used
know,
to.
He's his soldier.
He was not a good director of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the whole heroic age.
No, he screwed that
so
up.
He screwed
he
that up.
He kept his morals.
Yeah.
And you can't.
Yeah,
you have to have morals, but you cannot
yeah.
apply
it's
those
like,
across the board.
What we're going to do is more like Batman Beyond, where he sits at the computer and tells the new Captain
right.
America
like Oracle.
What to do.
Like Oracle. Like,
it's going
to
be good if
yeah.
they do it right. Let's not, as long as they don't give him his super soldier serum back
yeah.
anytime in the future. I'd like this to last, like, maybe.
That's what Taylor's thing was.
Five
it doesn't
years.
Stick. He
Let
wants
it,
to see it stick and have
no,
an impact.
Well, it'll never
and
stick.
See, well, stick for at least a year
yeah,
or so.
No, I'll stick for a year.
I
Professor
wish it
X,
sticks for 5 years
Well,
myself.
Like, Professor X passed away, and yes, we all know he'll be back.
Oh, yeah.
But the status quo the X-Men have gone through, the changes in the
oh, yeah.
status quo they've gone through, has been excellent
and
since Professor X
well,
died.
And that's
go ahead, Taylor.
For 5 years stick.
Go ahead, Taylor.
These are just things we have to accept. Characters die, characters get depowered
yeah.
or whatever, but, like, it's all about the execution of what comes afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
The
like,
aftermath.
Exactly.
Cap dying and Bucky taking over was wonderfully executed.
Fluid.
Very,
very.
Seemed logical.
Right.
But he had built in, with the Winter Soldier, Ed Brubaker had really built in Bucky's return.
But
right.
is Rick Remender not building those into Jet or Ian or the characters
oh, no,
that
he built
become.
It into
maybe
Falcon
this is
and Jet?
Maybe
go
this
ahead,
is
Taylor.
Just my personal way of looking at it, but like, Rick Remender stuff seems less about, like, spinning out new stories and just, like, the shock value of it all. Like, he did what? With, like, the Celestial and, like, Planet X and stuff. And, like, just... Thor killed that... No, no, not Thor.
No, I understand.
Wolverine got killed. What? And just,
yeah.
like, all this shit that he knows, we know, we all know is not going to stick. That's not going to have any impact because it's just going to get, like, time travel defuckified at some
You're
point.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right. As far as the Uncanny Avengers stuff, I will say that during his X-Force run, he had the same problem. There was a lot of Flash and not a lot of carry.
Well, just all that, also, that's always like,
that
things
decent.
Are
little
things are so dark, dark. We're doomed, we're doomed. We can't win. This is hopeless.
And then
oh,
they
wait,
win.
We fixed it.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
That, I do have a problem with
the
Remender.
The dire straits of the situation never seem proportional
yeah.
to the ease that
Remender
with which they
is a great.
The
is
a dire. He's a great dire writer. I
well,
think
he does great at taking fun things and making them work within a story. He's like, oh, that's a cool thing, and he can fit it into there.
Yeah.
You know. how all those things look once the puzzle is completed and you see it at the end, that's a totally different story. Right, and I almost have to agree with Taylor. Because his X-Force run only had two or three things that actually stuck.
Yeah, and here...
Outside of his other Uncanny Avengers run.
Here's what I'm going to say. Somebody, I'm very familiar with this work. Rick Marender's writing, his strong suit is characters.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's like...
Bendis and Hickman, too.
Yeah. Great, well, they're great character like, writers, but aren't plot
I'm
writers.
I'm not
going to
shit on the guy that the planet has his talent. So, like, the new... In X-Force, the new horseman he introduced... Man, these are some cool characters.
Yeah. Very cool.
Very cool.
That Century. Drummer dude.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Whatever
oh,
his name was. He was sweet. Yeah, he was awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's always been, in my opinion, a very strong character writer. That's the first time I ever liked Deadpool. I hate the character for the most part. I've never enjoyed him.
Nope.
But in Uncanny X-Force,
He made him fun in a redeeming kind of way.
He made him just the tragic clown.
Yes.
He made him sad.
Yeah.
He made him an enjoyable character to read.
Yeah.
And I tried reading Deadpool after that, and I...
Nah, it doesn't work. It
still doesn't work. Unless we're...
Well, cool, let's move off of comics, because we're eventually going to get to Nick Fury in Original Sin, and we don't want to talk about that again.
I will say briefly about that, just like, as like, I guess, a little mini-review of Avengers number... Or rather, Original Sin number 5.
Okay.
It was interesting to see Nick Fury's little secret past here, but it had nothing to do with the story about the Watcher or anything.
All it did was make an excuse of why Nick Fury is what he is.
We were spinning our... Plot-wise, we just spun our wheels this whole
issue. Was it not just a retcon? The whole issue did nothing but retroactively change the continuity of Nick Fury.
That's its issue, whatever. I'm talking about, like, within the plot structure of this one
of Original Sin.
This issue was a complete waste of time.
Yeah, it really did kind of suck you out of the event a little bit, and it's like, oh yeah, we're dealing with the Watcher and the Orb and that guy. I totally forgot about that.
Nothing to do with this
issue. Yeah, it had nothing to do with that. Yeah. Still a necessary issue.
This could have been... Issue number 5 should have been like issue 4.1 or something.
Definitely.
Should have been like a... like one of those like spin-off event books. Read it if you want to check it out. Interesting.
This is definitely the issue.
There's an interesting story to tell, but
it almost makes me scared about where the last three issues are going to go, because we only have three more issues,
right?
The
thing we always complain about with event books is they stretch them out too far just to sell more
books.
Well,
they're moving into Axis soon, so...
Yeah, and this is one of those issues where it felt like Mike Diodato Jr. got to kind of dictate what he did on this issue.
The art-wise?
The art.
Okay.
I mean, it's a really cool-looking issue. Yeah. Him showing Nick Fury killing all these things.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an issue during Infinity where I felt like Diodato got to plot it out and Hickman was too busy with the other two books.
Okay.
But Diodato is a great artist.
I guess
it's really fun to see his art in most books.
I definitely think he's an accomplished enough artist. He's good enough at what he does where he could be just given, like back in the day when Lee and Kirby would just say, okay, here's just an outline of what I'm going to do in this book, and Kirby would just go to work.
Yeah.
I think Diodato could do that.
I think that's what this issue was.
Especially,
it felt like to me.
Especially on an issue like this. Like that issue where it really didn't have anything to do with what was going on.
It was just
before.
A really fun looking issue. It does nothing to progress the story.
Exactly.
At all. But give you kind of an interesting outlook on Nick Fury, and that's what that issue felt like to me, was one big art book.
Yeah. Well, we could continue our talk about stuff happening to characters, because Wolverine's going to pass away soon. I have an article drafted
about
that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with
it. As long as it they make
mean
it mean something.
Yeah.
They have to. Well, Charles Soule, Steve McNiven, they're doing the book.
And
it's
going to
be pretty. It's going to be exact.
Yeah.
Charles Soule doesn't leave any loose ends hanging.
No. He's a great writer. And McNiven, honestly, to me, probably since Old Man Logan, has felt like the quintessential Wolverine artist.
He really is.
He just draws
Wolverine. Is fit really well to his art style.
Yeah.
Just like the gritty, bloody realistic.
And just the way, I love the way McNiven does faces. He does a scowl better than anybody.
Yeah.
And that's what made Old Man Logan so good. Wolverine without the mask on, scowling the entire book.
Yeah.
McNiven has just always done a really good job of making somebody just look so upset.
And, so Wolverine's gonna die.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter how it happens, it's gonna happen.
Right.
The journey is, better than the destination.
Always.
Well-executed death scenes are better than crappily.
Exactly.
Right. So it matters a little.
And that's of course.
Right, but we want a good death.
But doesn't, like we were alluding
to... Going back to Cap dying again.
Yeah.
Him jumping in front of a sniper's bullet was a quintessential Captain America thing to do.
Very much so.
Yeah, even though that wasn't the shot
that
actually
wasn't the shot that
killed
him, but got him on the ground and, all the hit
points.
Where he could get close.
But well,
like, and it was a perfect like a one panel per page. Yeah. If you've been like reading, it wasn't Death of Superman.
Yeah,
right.
Well, yeah, it was much better than Death of Superman.
Oh yeah,
Death of Superman wasn't that bad.
No, but if you had been reading, yeah. But let's, Cap, like I was at the time, yeah. Crossbones had become that villain again.
Yep. He had.
Yep. With the whole Winter Soldier thing, Crossbones was continually screwing Cap at every turn.
Yep.
And Cap finally got him, and for Crossbones to get Cap back at the perfect moment where the Winter Soldier had been, what, like a year or two out since then?
Yep.
It was it was a comeback moment.
It worked. Really cool,
it was a good comeback
moment. It was a really
moment.
Cool moment. And, did you read Jeff Parker's Thunderbolts run?
Yes.
Recommendation there, in case anyone's ever
read. Phenomenal run.
There's one issue where Captain America is kind of guest starring in the book, and he's going up against Crossbones, who was on the team at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He had recently gotten superpowers, so he can like shoot lasers from his face. Yeah. That literally is what he did. He
shot lasers from his face.
Yep. Yeah. And then, like, he's like, mist. I don't need a gun anymore. Now I am a gun. And Cap, I love Cap's response to all the things. They're like, that's all you ever were.
Yeah, was a gun. Yep. Yeah,
was a gun. And then, sure enough.
Oh, and then like, they're like in this like trippy alternate dimension. There's like a pool of water that reflects your true inner self, Cap, who was like not Cap at the time. He sees himself as Cap because that's who he is.
Yeah.
And then like, Crossbones sees himself as the Red Skull, and then Cap's like, that figures that's what you'd see. It's just a pale imitation of somebody else. Great dialogue.
Great Cap dialogue.
I want to see Jeff Parker write Cap, to be honest. He really got the character in that.
Yeah.
He did. He's what, on Aquaman right now?
I think so.
Yeah.
But
I love this Thunderbolts run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he's great.
His run on Hulk was pretty solid, too.
Yeah, his run on Hulk.
He had like
awesome.
He made the Red Hulk readable, mostly because we got to see people beat the shit out of him over and over again. But
also, he wrote an Indestructible Hulk annual last year with Iron Man Hulk.
It was good.
It was awesome.
It was one
of the best annuals I've read in a long time.
Yeah,
but speaking of which, New Avengers annual is actually really
good. It was incredible.
Let's talk about that book.
Yes.
Doc Strange book where he goes and gets his otherworldly powers.
Well, okay, bit of disclaimer. It has nothing to do with the New Avengers.
Nothing at all.
It's absolutely Doc Strange.
Because it sort of highlights how Doc Strange went and got that extra power that he got.
Yeah, it does sort of. It works hand in hand with the way
it works hand in hand
has been going with New Avengers. But in terms of plot,
You
could just pick this up if you haven't been reading New Avengers.
All you have to know is that Doc Strange has become even awesomer than he was before, and that's where I was going. Marco Rudy. Was the artist on this?
Yes.
Holy crap. Holy crap. What an amazing job.
He nailed it.
Oh my goodness. It might be the best Doctor Strange single issue ever. It's brilliant.
Seriously.
I couldn't believe it.
This one issue to me goes up there with The Oath.
As
a quintessential story. Oh, wow. And it's only one issue.
Yes.
To me, it matches Brian K. Vaughan's The Oath.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he goes and visits people who need his help, and then they see how he helps, and he does help, and then they're like, oh, crap, you helped us like that, you're out. I mean, it was brilliant. It was a brilliant Doc Strange story.
Also, the guy who wrote it, Frank, I can't say his last name.
Barbieri? Is that it?
Yeah.
But anyway, he took a wise approach to the character. Doc Strange is...
hard to write.
He's a hard character to get right in terms of, like... dramatic plot structure.
But I would read a Doc Strange book after this.
Yeah, but see, Doc Strange is like characters like the Silver Surfer, the Spectre, who have like vast powers, and it's pretty hard to nail down what they can and cannot.
Yes, yes.
It's hard to have dramatic tension.
Yeah, you're right.
He made this more of a morality play. Doc Strange, how far is he willing to go to save
a person?
And
we've seen it. It's as far as he can.
Yeah.
It's as far as he can.
And that's
how dark has he become at this point?
He's a villain. He might as well be a villain at this point.
He's not a villain.
It's close, dude.
He's still working for the good.
The way Hickman is painting...
That's what I'm going to say.
He saved an innocent child.
This was
imperfect. Well, true, but the way Hickman is painting the Illuminati, they are... he's almost painting them as villains.
Fuck up a whole planet.
Yeah. And they've done it before.
They haven't technically.
Okay, you're right.
Destroyed a populated planet.
Yes, but they're willing to, and that's what makes him the villain. Yes.
But
great.
But really, is that being a villain?
That's what makes Hickman's run on this so intriguing.
It's
a very compelling story.
In my opinion, they may have had one of the best.
This is it's a good story of like the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yes,
what they're trying to save the world.
Villain story.
They're very much becoming
villains.
Yeah, and let's go full circle this conversation. Did Hickman not nail Captain America throughout this run, saying that Cap would never go for this, and Cap knew exactly where they were heading? And very well done. Very well done. Jonathan Hickman, love
Cap is that immovable moral center.
He is.
And you know, and that's what And the now original Sin Avengers has become for me. Villains.
Yes. Because of Namor.
Fucking Namor.
Namor. Damn it.
I love Namor.
I've ranted about this a lot, not on the podcast, but in the
story. Larry, the Namor of the group.
Well, just like, okay, Namor in New Avengers doesn't do a damn
except
thing.
Get them in terrible
he
trouble.
Makes, his only contribution is to make things worse yes. over and over
but here's
again.
The thing, guys.
He's done that for years.
Yes.
So why does he keep him in the group?
But he's taking it to a new level.
Yeah,
he's taking it to
Namor
a new level.
Namor has a fear of success.
I might be that. Maybe he is doing that. Maybe he's making everybody else crap. He's like, no, Atlantis will be here. You know, forget
well,
you guys.
Well, here's my whole thing.
No, he's...
Well,
no.
He, first off, king of, like, what, two-thirds of the
yeah,
earth?
Yeah, yeah well, three-fourths of the planet.
So
yeah.
he gets smacked down again.
So here's the thing. I recently reread Avengers vs. X-Men, and something hadn't occurred to me until I reread all of New Avengers right after. Since the Phoenix Force, Namor has been seriously depowered, and had his wings ripped off, and actually wears boots in, so he can't fly anymore.
So he can't fly. You're saying he might not be as badass as he
used
to be at
so
all.
Yeah, and so he's talking so okay. much, and it occurred to
even
me...
Even at his, like, baddest levels, he was still, like, what...
Omega level. He was still awesome.
He was, like,
dude.
A Bruce Banner who had stubbed his toe.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, no.
But still, go ahead.
Yes,
what were you getting
I
at?
Mean, at one point, Namor is considered easily one of the most strongest characters.
Mutants, easily, yeah.
Easily.
He's badass,
he's
dude.
Dude.
Because of the pressure of underwater, he's able
yeah,
to...
Whatever.
Okay, it depends on who's writing it.
Okay, yeah. I'm used to reading... Like, when you're used to reading people like Superman, Thor,
yeah,
the Hulk...
Definitely.
Who would, like, beat him by flicking their pinky.
Yeah.
Wait,
it's
hold
hard
on,
to call
Namor's
badass.
Gone toe-to-toe with the Hulk
he has.
Multiple times.
Yes,
and
he has
won the fight.
World
yes,
War Hulk, he was close.
He was close.
That's a load of bullshit.
No,
no,
dude.
No, no,
of
no.
All
no,
the
no,
people
no.
who fought the Hulk,
you
in my opinion, Namor was the closest to winning.
The pressure of the Marianas Trench.
The Hulk can swim through a sun.
He's right.
That
well,
is,
I
don't give a shit what part
no,
of
the
planet.
What they're saying is
there's no amount of pressure the Hulk's punch could punch.
That
no,
Namor can't
possibly. Possibly. This is one of those. Yeah, this is one of those.
Yes.
Debates that there's no right answer to.
There's
that.
No right
the
answer.
Writer doesn't want the character killed, so they depower what the Hulk is capable of.
But isn't that
right.
every character?
Yes.
It depends on who's writing the
yes.
character.
True.
Okay. And here, but all I'm saying is they have gone toe-to-toe multiple times.
Yes. Go ahead.
And it's about a 50-50.
Right? Yeah.
But since the Phoenix, those who were members of the Phoenix Force all have their powers messed up.
The Phoenix Five.
The Phoenix Five. Yeah. It never occurred to me that Namor's powers are probably a little wonky and that he's not as strong as he used to be. And that's why he talks so much smack and doesn't do anything in New Avengers. And it finally hit me when I reread everything. I'm like, oh.
He should not have punched Batman in the face.
Yeah, he punched Batman in the face because that would be only depowered.
Dr. Fate or whoever the hell it was
he
punched.
He threw the trident fake Batman.
Yes.
Yeah, he should not have done that. He should not have done that.
But it's because he's probably still trying to feel adequate having lost him knowing he can't fly anymore.
Well, Beast on the team, he probably feels a little bit more adequate.
At least Beast is smart.
I know.
Namor
yes. I know.
Do
well, Namor isn't even wise enough to realize that Beast's wisdom is better than him. You know, he's
by
arrogant gosh. Like that.
Okay,
well,
even at his
loyalty
strongest,
thing.
Yeah.
Namor was never as strong as Doc Strange or Black Bolt.
Nope, never.
No, God,
never.
So he's nowhere near
the
strongest
Cap
on
the
team.
Off the
team. He's easily
they
the dumbest guy on
he's
the team.
Definitely the dumbest. He's an idiot.
What is he contributing?
Because
I don't know.
He is king of Atlantis.
Who gives a fuck? They're trying to stop Earths from colliding with each other.
I think that's the reason they're doing it out of consideration because he is in control of so much of the world.
That's
it just makes
it
sense.
Is.
And he was there from the beginning.
Yeah.
I bet they all
he's
get together and go, "Ah, oh, how do we kick him out?"
Yeah. But they're also doing this
after
number.
This fight, they may want to kick him
turn
out.
Turn him into a puppet. That's what he is.
Yeah. But yeah,
well,
after this
he
fight
is
with
the
Great Society,
the last original member, he may be the one that has the control over kicking them out.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it works like that.
He's been a member
it's
since
it's not
the
like there's a
inception.
Boss
yeah.
there.
I mean, yeah.
No, that's why
so is everybody else on that team right now, except for Beast.
Yeah.
And the Hulk.
And Reed.
Oh, and the Hulk.
And no,
oh,
Reed
yeah.
was there.
They just added the Hulk.
That's right. Yeah,
they just
added
the Hulk.
If you have a team of smart guys, Reed's going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Has to be.
In any event.
But is it a team of smart guys? If we have Namor on the freaking team.
No, because he's a fucking
idiot. He's so irredeemable on that team. There's no reason for him to be there.
You know what?
Except to cause trouble and mayhem.
Exactly.
Control is what he's there. They won't.
There's an aspect to that that we are missing that Hickman hasn't let out of the bag. There has to be.
This is
yeah. I love
from
the character.
From a writing point of view, you gotta have
that douche. Yeah. You gotta have the douche. He's gonna get you in trouble.
He is, so you he's gotta a have great, a comic relief.
Yeah, he's a great
gotta
douche.
Have an antagonist, someone to move the plot along.
Because you know what? Yeah. He makes Iron Man not seem like the douche on that team.
But Iron Man is still such a huge douche on that team.
I know, but he's still not as bad as Namor. He progresses more.
Oh man, that's funny. What a terrible team of douche. Because Bruce, they haven't been steering Bruce Banner in the nice direction lately, you know?
I know.
Yeah, okay. That whole team is full of douche. Let's talk about Guardians.
Yeah. Yes. That'll work.
Let us talk
new
about Guardians.
New extended look. Came out like
trailer.
Monday?
I'm done watching trailers for that. Yeah. I want to see the movie now.
I do want to see the movie, though.
I'm sold. I don't need any more promotion.
They introduced yet another good song to lay down.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw in the extended look, we saw Michael Roker. Mm-hmm. Is it Roker or Rourke?
I think it's Roker.
Roker. His character.
He played Merrill on The Walking Dead, and he was also in Call of Duty.
Yeah. And he was the father in Mallrats.
Oh, gee. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you're right. All right. Holy
you're
cow.
Right.
All
right.
Oh. Right.
But yeah, they showed Rooker.
Roker. Sure. Yeah.
Not Whatever. Roker. Rooker.
But they
I think it's Rooker.
They finally revealed his character on camera.
You know, Merrill. Yeah. Merrill. Daryl's brother. Merrill.
James Gunn. He's got a cameo in his own movie, which is typical for James
Gunn. Isn't that him that's playing the Collector or whatever there at the end of Thor?
No.
Oh, no, that's Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
What the hell was I thinking? Okay.
It's okay.
Who is he in the movie? Well, I still want to see Nathan Fillion.
But it's not a James Gunn.
Dude, I know, right?
It's not a James Gunn movie without a cameo from James Gunn or Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. And we should get both.
We'll get both.
We will.
Anyone ideas on who Nathan Fillion? Because he's now openly said he's not going to be Richard Rider.
I said this before. I want him to be Mal Reynolds. Just like he doesn't have to say anything.
He just needs to walk in the car.
They could be at like a space gas station. That's he's it, like refueling.
Serenity.
Get the Slim Jim or something.
Yeah, buy the Slim Jim at the Galactic corner store. That'd be awesome.
Or they could do
something. Oh, these are sale, shiny. You know,
what they could do is because Nathan Fillion voiced the Green Lantern in several of the DC movies.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Just be like how the Green Lantern had a character.
God.
I don't want him to do that.
I mean, Richard Rider is.
I still haven't recovered from the last time I saw Green Lantern on the big screen. So.
I could easily see him being somebody in one like that. We know there's a jail scene.
Yeah.
I could easily see him being arrested.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask this just because I'm reading Guardians, and they kind of look the same. Could he be Jason?
Spartak? Oh, yeah. He could totally be Jason.
He could totally be Star-Lord's daddy, right?
I could get down to that.
I would love that, dude.
That would be really funny.
I would love that.
I could get down with that.
Would he have to grow the beard for it?
I think they could CG it in. If we can have Groot and a talking raccoon, I think they could put a beard on.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Well, is he capable of growing a beard?
I don't know.
Right. I think they have a prosthetic for that.
No, all CG, man. It's Disney. CG's cheaper now.
I don't want to see like the Pixar flowing locks of his beard.
I'm trying to change my destiny.
Yeah. But I don't know if they need to even do the beard. I think it still works as long as they say, hey, it's Jason. But that'd be cool, man.
Hey, less than a month till we get to just watch
it. I still think he could be Mar-Vell. Just for like a split second.
You think they would put a Captain Marvel in there?
And who's not? Mar-Vell. The original Captain Marvel. Nathan Fillion would make an awesome.
Who's not a Carol Danvers? I think that's too confusing.
That might be a good way to help establish the character.
It should be.
Fuck that. If they're going to introduce a Captain Marvel at this point, they're going to want to do the one that's in the comics.
Carol, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and I think she's cooler than Mar-Vell, man. As far as being in a movie universe.
Yeah.
Mar-Vell, his whole thing was, you know, getting sick.
Yeah.
That was his basic, the most compelling thing about him. It was sad, it had a lot of feels, but still.
I loved Mar-Vell.
Yeah.
Him and Star Fox.
Yeah.
That was my first movie.
I loved
Star Fox back in the day with Mar-Vell.
I can't hear you say that without thinking about the
video. Yeah.
Okay, predates the video game.
He does have a long shot.
This is an example of, like,
he's The Terminator, Thanos' brother.
Terminator
by the way.
In the comics predates the Terminator movie, but that's
exactly.
not what anyone thinks.
Yes,
of.
Okay. Exactly.
And yeah, Star Fox in the comics predates the Star Fox video game. That's not what you think of.
Yeah.
I think of Star Fox.
Well, then you're a fool.
You are
and
a fool.
And I'm sure there was somebody named Mario before 1980. But
yes, yes, I know for a fact there was. But all right, that's a movie that's coming out at the end of the month.
Yep.
And I'm sure we're going to talk about that more and more.
Oh yeah,
as it gets closer, we'll probably do a group thing of that and try to go see it together.
Coming out this week.
Coming out this week though.
Yeah. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
This looks like the movie of the summer up to this point.
Now, I saw the original one, and it was like, I enjoyed it, but it didn't compel me to see the next one.
Supposedly, this one's supposed to be a lot better, all the critics are saying.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of critics giving it, like they were surprised it was so good.
Missed the second one, but...
No, wait, are you talking about, what first one are you talking about?
I think you're talking about
Planet of the Apes, the Marky Mark Planet.
The Marky Mark remake.
Yeah. I saw that, and I wasn't compelled to see
Rise
of the
Arise, yeah.
But seeing the previews for this one, I'm going to go back and watch Rise.
Rise is awesome.
Rise was a
Rise
good movie.
Rise was surprisingly really
yes,
good.
It was great.
A lot better than I thought it would be.
They've given away the whole movie in the trailer for this one, though.
Really?
Well,
for the Dawn?
And honestly, I'm going into this, even without seeing the trailers, knowing, okay, the apes win.
Of course they win. We know already that
right.
they win.
Like we already
know how it ends.
Climactic battle with Gary Oldman. We already know who's the guy who goes like scientist dude tries to hang out with him. We know that's.
I recognize
fail.
Him, but yeah, you know that's going to fail. We know there's going to be a climactic fight at the end that leaves the humans devastated even further than
like
they have been by the virus.
Chimps on horses.
Right. Well, that's because if you've seen all the original films.
Yeah.
That, how else do you get a Planet of the Apes?
Yeah.
If they don't win.
So this brings up the question, is the journey better than the destination, more worthwhile? And
well,
I think so.
If done right, the journey can be better because, I mean, look at Titanic. Hopefully everybody who saw that movie knew how it was going to end.
Passion of the Christ. Everybody knew how that was going to end.
That's true. I mean,
I'm serious.
Sometimes, like, you go into a movie not
the book's
being
so much better.
You can go into the movie knowing how it's going to okay, like every Pixar movie.
I did not see that.
You know
cut.
That it's going to have a happy ending.
Right. Yeah.
You know, right. In all fairness, I still haven't seen all of Titanic.
But
like
so
sorry.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, every last one I know.
But like
knew.
Up for example, we had no stars in
Ghostbusters 2. Yeah, I was like, Leo's gonna die. I don't care.
Hey, but the Titanic arrives in Ghostbusters 2.
That's right.
Better late than never.
But now the execution is more important than the
ending.
Surprise.
Factor.
Because most movies there are no surprises anymore.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Memento. That's my go-to for surprise movies.
Right. Well, I'm just saying.
But yeah, you're right.
I have freaking.
It will be worth.
Spoiled for me by a friend.
Oh, that sucks.
I still haven't seen it, but I know the.
You should still watch it. It's still worth watching.
Okay.
The Prestige.
You ever seen The Following?
It's about magicians.
I've never seen that either.
It's great.
I know. I've heard it's very. I actually think I have.
What movie?
The Following.
Oh yeah.
The Nolan film.
Oh okay.
Not the show.
Yeah.
The I've show's heard the
good
show
too.
Good.
It's
has nothing
Kevin
to do
Bacon's
with the
movie. Awesome.
It has nothing to do with the movie at all. Like, well,
but since we're talking about movies, let's talk about last weekend at the movies. 4th of July is usually a really big weekend for
the
movie producers.
The worst 4th of July? Yeah,
in a decade?
44% down from last year.
Yeah,
but
at least a decade.
What was out?
Transformers.
Transformers, which apparently the critics have come in, shittiest shit ever shit.
Yeah. And it was out the week before. And it was out the week before.
I mean, Larry ruined their second weekend prospects with his scathing review.
I mean, honestly, it was such a bad movie. If my date wasn't asleep, I would have left.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, what worse can you say about an action movie that it put somebody to sleep?
But what else was out? That Tom Cruise film.
Tammy was the big winner, even though it didn't do well and it's considered not good.
It made all its money back.
Right. She has a good following, and it's just one of those things. It's been reviewed. It was okay, but it's played out.
It's going to be big on DVD.
There's a number of solid movies that are still in the theater, but they came out like a month ago.
Yeah,
so they're not going to go see them for the July
weekend. I loved that I went and saw was Deliver Us From Evil.
Yes.
And
that
was an excellent movie.
I heard it's one of the top three horror movies
of the last
20
years.
You go see horror
movies on 4th of July weekend, though.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and I saw it.
Yeah, you said in your review that it should have been out on Halloween.
Right. Now, I wasn't in the mood to see it, but Nothing else I wanted to go see. Let me tell you my theory of why it's out now. I was incredibly surprised by it.
They didn't think that was going to do well. And they're setting it up for a DVD release in October.
Right.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah,
it
would. And I will probably gladly watch it again come Halloween.
Definitely.
Well, I haven't seen it. I don't know if everyone's dead at the end or not. So maybe
I heard it was great. I heard it was really fun.
I actually thought it was a better action movie than Transformers.
I know the guy who made this one also made Sinister, I think it was called.
You compared it to Pacific Rim. Okay. And that movie's so much worse than the last Transformers movie.
No, no.
What did you say?
He's talking smack on Pacific Rim again.
Because it's awful action.
No, it's not.
I know.
No, this is awful. If you want to go see robots fight, go watch Pacific Rim.
That's what it is.
That's what I said.
It delivers
slow fight in the rain.
Speaking of which, I never did get to see Godzilla, but I think that's out of theaters now.
I think it is too. Close to it. It'll be on DVD in a month.
I'm ashamed of myself.
Deliverance from Evil is basically a good cop detective type movie and a horror movie combined. So there's some good cop investigation type action that, and it follows the path of a non-believer. You know, you see it kind of, you get the story from his point of view that eventually becomes a believer in all the whatever.
Who's the star here? Is it Ethan Hawke again?
No.
I don't even know. I honestly.
Isn't Eric Bana in it, from the Hulk? Yeah. From Ang Lee's Hulk?
I don't even know.
I'm pretty sure Bana's in Eric Bana from Ang Lee's Hulk.
I like him as an actor. I've heard
of Eric Bana as the guy from Troy.
Okay.
Yeah. It was much better in
that.
Or the villain from the first Star Trek reboot.
There
you go.
I think he was in Chopper.
I didn't see
Eric Bana is the main character.
Yeah.
And the Eric second supporting is Edgar Ramirez. But yeah, the one that surprised me, the leading lady is Olivia Munn.
Oh, really?
Good for her.
I'm a huge fan of Olivia Munn, not just from the tech TV. She was on a show called The Newsroom that was on HBO. She was brilliant in this show. If you haven't seen that, definitely check it out, The Newsroom. Great show.
And she rocks a great slave lady.
Oh, dude. I watched Attack of the Show when it was still the tech guys on tech TV.
Yeah. The screensaver.
Leo LaPorte still has his own little dominion on the internet.
Right. Yeah, he still has the screensaver thing.
It's a podcast domination. He puts out
a book every so often.
Yep. Yep, he's actually got a syndicated radio show that he does every Sunday night.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I listen to it all the time.
Good for him.
Yeah. Leo LaPorte is actually one of my heroes, man.
Really?
Yes. As far as getting out there and putting yourself out there and telling people what you know and what you think, yeah, one of my earliest things was, I like that guy, and this is why, and I'm going to be like that.
And
love that guy.
Every geek owes a little thing to Leo LaPorte, because A, Screensavers is the predecessor
to Attack.
To Attack of the Show. Yeah. B, his co-star on Screensavers was Will Wheaton.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. He got Will Wheaton like his first regular job after Star Trek.
Yep.
And then, because that show after that, Portal.
There was also a dude who had his start on the Screensavers who eventually invented a website called Dig.
Kevin Rose.
Which eventually gave way to
Reddit.
Mm-hmm. And even Zuckerberg has said that Facebook, certain aspects of Facebook, he stole from Dig. So, yeah, we have the Screensaver show that used to be here on Tech TV that
was
terrible ratings, never did great.
Has an impact that
changed the world.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep. Brilliant. Well, and Tech TV was all low-budget stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And,
they shared studios with the E! Network, for God's sakes. Yeah, they had like two studios, and one of them was owned by E!
A very niche market, it was definitely ahead of its time. And of course, ahead of its time. It made sense for G4, the video game network and the tech network to merge.
Yeah.
But what it's become now, like all-day cop reruns.
It's not even that anymore.
It's the Esquire network.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not even on anymore? No, I haven't had cable in 6 months.
Well, right. It's on there that you'd watch now. Yeah. I mean,
you know, the review show, X-Play was a show I watched because what was that girl on there?
Morgan Webb.
She knew what she was talking about.
Yeah, she did. Yep. She was an
Adam Sessler, too. Yeah, they knew what they were talking about. That's why I watched.
Did you see the X-Play musical?
Yes. I love the musical. That was great. I miss, but like after they stopped like being ridiculous and funny, it kind of went downhill.
Yeah.
And like Attack of the Show, I miss that. I miss X-Play. And then Ninja Warrior. Warrior, if you want to watch that, that's on NBC now.
Yeah, that's mainstream now.
So, yeah, what's left on DC? Well,
they had another gamer show that was pretty good. Play Electric Underground or something.
Electric Playground, I think.
Electric
it was
Playground. Yeah. Yeah. They've gone to a web show.
Back in high school, I'd be watching like Cheaters. I'd be watching. Or was it just called Cheat?
Cheaters is
Cheaters
is
that
else.
Shitty show about like
Cheat was a good show.
Busting you.
Cheaters is what they play now on Tech TV.
But I watched that Cheat. It would give you like
codes and stuff. Yeah.
And today we remember Cinematech.
Oh, dude!
All the big cinematic scenes that made me go buy games. I would be like,
they would just play cutscenes.
Like 30 minutes of cutscenes.
Yes, it was awesome.
What a brilliant idea for a show.
It was a great idea for a show.
No budget whatsoever.
No budget. Just some dude playing games, getting a record.
They would also have like they'd have like they show old episodes of Star Trek and have like the red shirt death count on the screen and like
It's like pop up video but for Star Trek.
Star Trek 2.0.
Yeah.
It was an awesome.
That was definitely a good idea.
You could blog.
You could tweet with them or not tweet back on the forum. You could do whatever. Yeah.
Post on the forum and we'll be posting on television.
So cool, man.
Live chats.
Yeah. And, but that's all been replaced by the internet.
Arena? Does anyone remember Arena?
I remember Arena.
Yes.
Yep. And I don't know if I remember Arena.
It was like
basically
Kevin Pereira came on the scene. There was some other like dude, I forget his name. Arena!
Yeah, Arena.
It was a pre-runner to MLG, Major League Game.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Essentially, they'd like play Counter-Strike.
Yeah, Counter-Strike. They played Unreal Tournament.
Mario Kart sometimes.
Oh, that's
Mario
cool.
Kart. Yeah, it would be like a multi event thing. It was basically teams, and then they would do a first-person shooter. Then they would do like some weird side scroller, and then racing, or then what? Yeah. Whatever. It would be
so. It was 1980s, The Wizard.
Yeah,
remember that?
Right, exactly.
I love the Power Glove. Yes, but think about this.
The Power Glove
was like the team one that got to stay and go on next week.
Oh, that's cool.
And the team that lost.
Never a fan of Kevin Pereira.
Arena was a cool show.
He came into his own when it was Attack of the Show. I thought he did a really good job when
with Olivia. Him and Olivia had a good chemistry.
Yeah, they did.
And now Olivia left.
And what's her name?
I like Candace.
Sarah Underwood.
Who didn't like Candace?
I like Candace.
Who did?
Morgan Lee.
Are you kidding
Morgan
me?
Morgan Lee.
Oh,
Crack.
What was her name?
Blair Butler?
Blair Butler.
Yeah, she works for Marvel
She works for Marvel now.
She does.
Yes. She got her own
spin-off show. And Chris Hardwick is going on to do The Nerdist.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also
Talking Dead.
At Midnight.
And Talking Dead, yeah.
But, Talking Dead.
But Nervous is its own thing now.
Nervous
is amazing.
Allison Hayslip went up. She's, I forget what it's called, like The Dish or something?
Yes, on E. It was something on E.
Yeah, yeah, and then
because E Studios are right next
door.
She
also goes for Maximum. So.
Yeah.
And then we have, what's her name?
Who?
She did the Naked Yoga.
Oh,
Sarah Underwood.
Oh, Sarah Underwood.
Sarah Underwood.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
My goodness, Sarah Underwood.
Playboy, Playmate, so.
Yeah.
She's on the Comic-Con circuit. She just shows up and they throw money at her.
Oh, of course. Of course. Bring the Playboy.
I think I was a little bit resentful of Attack of the Show because it took over the tech guys, you know?
Well, I liked it, but they turned it into like a...
they got rid of all my
pop culture show.
Right,
and
slowly eliminated all the tech out of it, and that's what killed it, because it became a...
pop culture
a
show.
Geeky, basically, Tonight Show with Jay Leno type
stuff. Who was the guy who was with Leo on that? You remember his name? He's on Revision 3 now, still doing exactly what he was doing on Screensavers.
Well, I don't remember.
Putting motherboards in oil and overclocking them by, 15%.
Jesus.
Love that, dude. Love that stuff. I actually did that myself. Because I saw it on a show. And there was a dude on there named Yoshi who used to build custom cabinets. Do you remember that dude? He built a box. It was a Windows PC. An Xbox, a GameCube, a Dreamcast, all in one. He took it apart and fit it in there. It was amazing, dude. Yoshi's Box. You can still Google it and find it. I love reminiscing about
that.
They were
called
the records for the world's largest video game controller.
San Diego Comic Con.
Because they basically about it.
Yeah.
They basically built like an 8-foot wide 8-bit Nintendo controller and made it function.
On
and
you had to, they did like, the world's smallest controller where you had to play with like
the
pinpricks on your fingers.
Oh wow.
But But no, well, thinking about that, Blair Butler recommended a lot of indie books I started picking up.
Yep.
I would have never picked up 100 Bullets.
Yeah,
Brian Azzarello and Edward Risso.
There was a book
on Wednesdays.
It's like a modern retelling of the Odyssey. I forget what it's called, but like, I would never have even heard of that if
she didn't recommend it.
There's a lot of.
And she started out like a staff writer on X Play.
Yes. Mm. Yep.
That's how I picked up Invincible. She recommended it to me on a Wednesday.
Yeah, but that was back when X-Play was like, it was funny. They had drunk Link. And,
yeah.
She was the drunk rider.
Yeah.
She was the drunk rider with the sunglasses and the cigarette.
Speaking of drunk Link.
Never seen X-Play rip on
Sanji Phillip, he's got famous playing the Guild, the creepy stalker.
Okay,
Guild. He had Legend of Neil. Basically, so Legend of Neil is a web series that ended up getting picked up by Atomic Robo or something. Like Cartoon Network's weird offshoot video streaming.
Is this
thing.
The one where the guy has the autoerotic asphyxiation strangler?
Yes. So,
Felicia Day is in it?
Yes. Okay. So he passes out. Jerking it and choking himself.
Okay.
And wakes up in the video game.
Oh, God.
Oh, weird.
And it is hilarious.
Felicia Day's in it. Oh, got like
premise
like that.
With a premise like that, how could it not be hilarious?
Is a nymphomaniac fairy.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Wow. I do not like her short hair right now. I don't like her.
But I'm the hair comment. Legend of Neil, definitely you should check it out. There's like four seasons of it. And he goes all this way to fight and save the princess, and then the princess is black, and he's like, "What? I just wasn't expecting that." She's awesome. Like, "What? You got a problem with that?" No, awesome. No, it's cool. I just caught me off guard. Yeah.
This is not what I was expecting.
That's awesome, dude. Oh man,
Sanji plays the old man. And he hands him the wooden sword. Like later, he gets the white sword. It's like, is this the same sword you just painted it? Come on, no, it's new sword. And he like kicks a bucket of paint.
Oh God,
awesome. He teaches him. All right, so once you kill him, you cannibal, you eat the hard cookie. It makes you feel better. Yeah, and the way they do the effects and stuff are pretty hilarious because they're definitely low budget, but the writing and the jokes are so good.
Channel 101,
especially if you play the original Legend of Zelda.
Yeah,
cool.
Definitely, you should go stream it.
Awesome,
Neil.
Legend of Neil.
You're the one from the prophecy. Wait a second, old man. What are you doing in my bathroom? Oh, God.
Very cool. What else? Anybody else got anything?
Do we want to talk about the World Cup?
Oh, sure, we can talk sports. We can be sports geeks.
Man, what a whooping.
Yes. Oh, the Christ the Redeemer statue was face-palming.
You lost by this much.
We were talking before the podcast.
Did you see the guy who skydived off that to take a selfie? Some guy climbed up top of it, skydived off it, pulled his chute and took his selfie.
Oh, with the
Christ the Redeemer right behind him.
Oh, that's cool.
He's getting all kinds of fines for.
Back to soccer.
Yeah.
Football.
We were talking before the podcast started.
That
was legitimately painful to watch. It's like there was a 6-minute span where Germany got four goals off in rapid succession.
Yeah.
Well, I'm they got the first goal in the 12th minute or 10th minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And then between minutes 21 and 28, they scored four more goals.
It's almost Brazil was like, no, we were supposed to win this. We don't really have to do anything.
I mean, they were down their captain, they were down their best player.
They were.
Oh my God. The team looks so incompetent.
For those it looked like a high school team. It looked like the orange team.
Yeah.
It was the
that
equivalent
plays at Drake's Creek, you know,
the orange team.
The Broncos losing to the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Those who don't understand soccer, that was the equivalent of.
Just like that's
not even close.
It's a good.
They actually took it out.
Yeah.
The equivalency of that loss would be the equivalency of an NHL team losing 14-0.
Yeah.
It would be the equivalency of an NFL team being down
100.
I think it was 80 something points after 20 minutes.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Epic proportions, one of the worst losses in professional sports, period.
I still like the Bills going to a Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. No, because Germany's a great team.
Germany's a great
team. It's not like they were like a huge underdog. They were even with
The Bills made it to four Super Bowls. They have to be okay.
In a row.
Here's the other problem.
They lost all of them.
Like the last one, they lost by like 52
points. Just real quick, though.
It was against
Cowboys.
Against Young and the Niners, I think. That last one.
Lost against the Cowboys.
Even if Brazil had their players, there's a good chance they would have lost anyway. Germany is a great
But it wouldn't
team.
Have been nearly as
But, okay, like, I'd like gap. The Super Bowl analogy because I was sitting down yesterday expecting a great game. This is going to
Exactly.
Like, it should
That's
be competitive. But then, like, this is over in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's rough. The difference also between soccer fans and stereotypical American sports fans, too. You're a soccer fan, you expected a good game, a close game, low scoring. I had so many friends saying, "Oh, if soccer were this exciting,
it wasn't exciting. Like, it was over.
That's
a great example of
high scoring. We want to see points on the board.
Why
don't
soccer doesn't work?
To watch the Super Bowl be competitive.
That's a great example why soccer doesn't translate as
I feel
well.
Like this is a false.
Right. I felt bored watching the match.
I
want
to watch anytime I want to watch a game. I want it to be competitive, no matter what sport.
Right. The Wimbledon match that was on at the same time, the 3-hour Federer, whoever it was,
Djokovic match
was so much better than the soccer game. It was amazing.
When you tell somebody a game ended 2-1, they think, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
But for me, that's the more exciting
awesome
game.
That means,
especially when you get a goal in the 87th
Boom.
Minute.
Exactly.
Boom.
But, like, and as somebody who
Go ahead, Taylor.
Yes, it is true. I feel like we create this false division between America and soccer. It's another team sport.
Exactly.
If you don't like, I don't particularly care for baseball.
Or water
I wouldn't
polo.
Say it's un-American, don't like
well,
baseball.
Here's the thing.
I love baseball.
Americans are offensive. We are very aggressive as a culture.
Yep. So that's why football translates better to us, American football.
Because if you look at culture, we've become more so aggressive. That's why football has surpassed baseball as a national sport.
Depending on when you ask me, I'll put soccer as my third or fourth favorite sport. But I will say, though, people who complain about the flopping have a point.
Yeah. Oh, in soccer?
Yes.
Yeah, they should definitely do something
about
that.
I understand it's in your interest to milk time or whatever, but then, like, if you like a guy barely taps you and you act like you just got shot by a high power
I can definitely
rifle,
I can
you should get shot by a
I
high
can definitely give
rifle.
American sports credit for the leagues that they believe teams belong to following through on the rules that they set forth. Like there's no flopping rules for World Cup, but they don't enforce that shit really. But when they make a rule in football where you can't touch the quarterback in a certain way or you can't lead with the head or any of these rules, they follow them strictly.
Oh yeah.
To the letter. And same thing with baseball.
Yep, they
as far as those
when
rules
they
go. Although the rules don't change that often for baseball.
And here's the thing about
I mean, there's
football,
flopping in other sports,
baseball,
obviously. There's flopping in basketball. Well.
But flopping isn't a part of the game. I wouldn't say in basketball. It's not a part of the game.
It's admonished more so than it is in soccer.
Yeah, but soccer, it's like a part of the game. And they have gone to lengths to reduce it. And it's not working.
But back to the game yesterday, though. Yeah. Like, the way they kept panning over the crowd and, like, children and women just bursting
in tears and crying.
And, like, it was a huge... this was the equivalent of them watching their, like, beloved family pet tortured to death.
I was born in Pennsylvania. My father and my grandfather were both Eagles, diehard Eagles fans. It would be like watching the Eagles in the Super Bowl and it being a 50-0 game in the first quarter and then losing. I would weep.
It would have been like watching
I would be pissed.
The original
pissed? Yeah.
We've only been there once.
It would be like watching the Dream Team in the 92 Olympics if they had lost to, Kazakhstan in the first round.
Lithuania.
If the Dream Team lost to Russia in the 92 Olympics.
Yes.
We were talking like
one of your biggest rivals in the Olympics.
While the Cold War's still kind of going on.
Yeah.
So now we have speaking of like Brazil, their arch nemesis.
Yeah.
Their actual arch nemesis, if they win today, who are they going to root for now? Their arch nemesis or the team that just ripped out their heart and ate it in front of their crowd?
Also, yellow's turned orange.
Next to Argentina, Germany has been Brazil's next best arch nemesis.
Well, in terms of like overall World Cups, it's Brazil is number one with five. Then
Italy
with four,
and then Germany with three.
Yeah.
Well, after this loss,
no, Brazil has the most at five.
They were talking about it on the radio that they needed
maybe
to actually win to tie the be a tiebreaker.
Oh yeah, it might be appearances in the final. Yeah, yeah.
Appearances.
Yeah, Brazil has five, and Germany
has
five.
Speaking of like overall World Cup records, not only did they lose like the worst semifinal loss ever,
yeah, they lost the most over.
Yeah, not only did they lose in Brazil for the first time in like decades.
Yes.
They lost the overall goal scored by a nation to Germany.
Yep.
And one of the German players surpassed Ronaldo for both individual goals in World Cup stages.
Yep.
And they broke...
It was just the worst possible day.
It's the worst.
And for those who don't know, the last 50 years, South America has been an impenetrable fortress against Europe.
Yes.
European teams in the last 50 years, since England beat Brazil 50 years ago, no European team has ever beaten a South American team in South America
in FIFA.
In FIFA.
Yeah.
Well, at a certain stage.
No. In the cup.
In the FIFA cup. Well, in the
like
tourneys.
I feel like in like the group stages that must have happened.
No. It didn't happen this year. It hasn't happened in FIFA.
Really?
No.
A European team beating in South America. In South
during
America.
The World Cup. Okay. Until yesterday.
How many World Cups have there been?
The Netherlands beat Costa Rica.
Is in
Central America. Costa Rica, Central America.
Yeah. Yeah. So a South American country has not lost in South America in 50 years.
Okay, who is that? Argentina, Uruguay, and Brazil? What other major South?
Well, there's Colombia has a team. Colombia has
Chile.
A team.
Chile. Uruguay.
Yeah, Uruguay.
I know there's
Paraguay
a bunch of South American countries, yeah. Obviously.
But they all
have... How many of them have, like, good teams?
They all do.
Yeah,
a lot of them have solid teams, but, like, there's, like, the powerhouse.
Compared to which teams in Europe, though?
Yeah.
I mean, Europe has its fair share of shit teams, so they all can't be Italy's and Germany's, you know.
World Cup qualifying,
you gotta have a Sweden in there somewhere.
Area of the world. There's, I think it's 6 or 7 regions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
right, they
when
have
it comes down to
qualifying
a cup
for it.
In South America, no European team until Germany in 50 years has beaten a South America team in South America.
What a
and
shitty day.
What
for
a terrible day for Brazil. And Brazil, they had that writing on them the same way. Now Argentina, it doesn't matter if they lose.
That's why.
Now they didn't lose 50 years of history.
I mean, do we think it's going to be empty for the final? Like,
no
one's going to show up.
Okay.
No.
Now people
well, here's
show
the thing.
Up,
there's a lot of Germans in Brazil.
Well, there's a lot of tourists.
Yes.
No, but there's a lot of people there just
for
the World Cup.
Cities that are
New Berlin.
Yep. There's a lot of Germans in Brazil.
Moving forward.
It's Thiago Splitter.
That's a lot of Germans move there after
I feel
the
like
war.
I'm going to be rooting for Argentina now. I feel like it's always a shame when a great player never hits the pinnacle. Like, it was a damn shame that Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. It's a shame that Karl Malone never got an NBA championship.
Yes.
It would be a damn shame if Messi never gets a World Cup.
You're right.
Not only that, look at Sammy Kadira. He's Brazilian German.
It is a damn shame that Karl Malone never got a championship.
Yeah,
that irks me. Him and Stockton.
Him and his 16 wheelers.
Oh, it irks me.
And that all goes back.
Apparently, it's just like a great
Jordan's
guy.
Uncalled push off hands in the flu game.
Boom!
Yep. He
boom!
Did push off, but nobody
yes,
would ever
he did
call
push
it.
Off.
Nobody,
same thing
Jordan
with Reggie
got
Miller.
Away with a
I hate
lot
Reggie
of shit.
Miller. Reggie Miller always kicked people.
That's why
no one ever called him on that.
Not like Jordan, man.
No, Jordan, no.
Jordan always
well,
got
Jordan
away.
Admits that, like, he would position himself between, like, he would position himself in such a way where the ref could not see him fouling.
And he'd do the hand thing. He'd pull their hand as he went the other way. He'd pull them this way.
Well, just
like he's in front of him, he'd reach behind and pull their hand and go this way.
I mean, he's obviously still a great player. But,
oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, yeah. For those who don't know, because you guys don't watch soccer year round like I do, Messi talks smack every time he's running with the ball. He's literally cussing out every player as he's. That's why he gets
awesome.
Down all the time.
That's cool though.
Because he's cussing them out.
I can picture him dribbling,
that.
You know, and talking smack.
Well,
you
know, watch him, and if you speak Spanish, he's
even
talking smack the entire
that's
match.
That's
awesome.
He
can
talk smack and English,
the
he knows the other
that.
Person will
yeah,
know
no,
he's
no,
saying.
Messi speaks like 4 languages.
Cristiano Ronaldo kind of does the same thing, but people hate him for it.
Yeah.
All because of how he is on the field otherwise.
But nobody talks about Messi, but Messi, for those who don't know, and people who watch La Liga know, he is talking trash.
Yeah.
And that's why he gets pulled down all the time. Is because he's
awesome.
Just making fun of people as he's running past them.
Well there's
so many
much,
cases
much
of cheating in professional sports in little ways. Like in football,
it's only cheating. Yeah,
if you get
you're
bending
the rules.
It's a penalty or a foul.
Well, yeah,
right.
Well,
you're not they would take vapor rub.
Yeah.
And put it in the things where they rip the hands, so when the defensive players would go to get the down, they would put vapor rub on their hand, so if they got in the dog pile, they could put it in your face and you'd drop the ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, just like, little stuff like that.
Well, people were making a big deal the other day during Chile, Netherlands. Or not, Costa Rica, Netherlands.
Yeah.
Tim Krul, the keeper for the Netherlands, was saying, I see where you're going to kick the ball. I know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Okay, during Tim Krul is a douche.
Yeah. You know what? I watch the EPL. I give him a lot of credit. He's not on a very good team. Newcastle is not a phenomenal team in the EPL.
Yeah.
But he is a great keeper.
But I just don't like how he came out on fresh legs and act like he had carried the whole fucking team the whole
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
Okay, but think about this.
What? He hasn't played the whole cup.
Who cares?
You got to come in with a lot of you had to really get in their head.
Maybe I'm just bitter because I was when
no, I was.
I thought Costa Rica was going to get slaughtered. Yes. When they took it to penalty shootouts, I was too. They were so close. I really wanted them to get it.
And I feel you.
That's like a little engine that could team that made it so much. No one thought they would make it out of group. No one gave them any shot.
I give them a lot.
That's what everybody was talking about. The Netherlands, the BBC. That's the only team they were talking about.
Yes.
Every weekend I was at work and I'm listening to BBC.
And I give Costa Rica a lot of credit. They were the little engine that could.
Yeah.
But for those who don't know, as somebody who played keeper at one point, and it's a terrifying position to play.
I bet.
If you haven't played the whole game and you're going in for penalties, you're at
it's hard to get your mind right.
Yeah, you haven't.
Well, penalty kicks are more mental than physical, really.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Obviously, like, you can physically get in there and make the great jump, not to say. But if you guess wrong, there's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing
you
can do. Yeah. And not only that, if you haven't played a whole game and you haven't made a save the whole tournament, you have to make these saves right now.
It's like bringing a goalie in halfway through a fight.
Or having to come in with 3 seconds left, kicking a 40-yard field goal to win the game.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So you have to do something to get yourself in the game. Being fresh has nothing to do with penalties.
You keep repeating the word keeper, and that reminds me, there is a Quidditch documentary about the real-life Quidditch League coming
out. I've seen that.
Here soon.
Harry Potter news. J.K. Rowling just put out some new stuff.
Put a story out.
About 30-year-old
It was an article written by Rita Skeeter, 1,500 words.
Yeah, they were at the Quidditch World Cup.
Yeah, they were at the Quidditch World Cup. Well, she's making it up.
She was interviewing them, and apparently...
It crashed Pottermore.
Jenny
I can't even find it on Pottermore.
Wrote an account...
I found it on the website. Yeah.
The Quidditch World Cup.
So yeah,
she's
Jenny's
a sports
reporter. Harry's an Auror, which is like Wizard Cop.
Wizard Cop.
Yeah, but there's actually...
You're the chosen one!
There is a soccer-esque type sport that
Quidditch.
People play real-life Quidditch. They've done a five Quidditch cups.
They do get on broomsticks and run around. You have to have
a
broomstick.
You have to have a broomstick. You've got to have the broomstick.
The snitch is actually another player.
When you aren't flying on the broom, that looks pretty stupid.
It does.
It looks crazy.
It looks ridiculous. But I bet it's fun as hell.
I've actually seen some of the highlights from some of that stuff. They take that shit serious.
Oh, they do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
just like
they put people in the hospital and stuff like that.
Dude, Ultimate Frisbee.
I mean,
like football with Frisbee has just been deemed an Olympic
sport.
Not in the Olympics, but it's capable. It's qualified to be an Olympic sport.
Well, we were talking last time, weren't we, about like some of the shit that is in the Olympics?
Yeah, dude. It's so weird. Quidditch. By 2050, Olympics.
You know, the fact that Pottermore has such a fan base, if J.K. Rowling spits out a couple more books,
it could be.
It could happen.
Coming to the Olympics in Rio, 2 years, rugby.
Oh, wait a minute.
First time.
Hang on a minute. You actually think Rio's going to be able to pull off the Olympics?
I think they will.
They have a good choice now.
Because you know what?
They have a good choice now. It's all set.
Yeah.
They've got a ton of venues set already.
We'll be lucky if they can manage to change the World Cup away from Qatar. And that's like still like 8 years away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but
you know
I'm just saying as much problem as
they
are having
really
Rio.
Need to do that.
You know what? And here's what I'm going to say.
Which sucks.
Rio, they've got more stuff done than freaking Sochi did for the Winter Olympics.
He's right. For the World Cup than the
Sochi
did.
Well, there might not be. I mean, really, the way things are going, there might not be a 2050 Olympics.
And we say that all
I mean,
the time.
Well,
I
no,
think,
what
I
I'm
we'll
saying is
it.
Because unless something changes with the Olympic Commission's demands, they Every of these host cities usually lose
money,
billions and tons.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Same thing with FIFA.
Becoming a host city usually means
FIFA's
you're the last
got so much more clout
now.
Than the Olympic Committee.
Yeah. Yeah.
FIFA is legit.
You make a little bit more money with FIFA than
FIFA
you do with the
FIFA is
Olympics.
Legitimately yeah. a cabal of supervillains.
Yeah. It really is.
The guys
really
who
is.
Run it.
They come out of a big black dome in a swamp.
I know a couple of United States cities refuse
the gulag.
Put in for
right, right. A lot of people, you know, just drop there. Like, no, we look, we crunch the numbers.
No way.
Once you
no
tell
way.
Us what you want,
no,
no problem.
Way can do it.
Yeah. The United States, Russia, England, FIFA, these are the only countries that are going to be able to pull
yeah.
off.
Yeah, but too many,
the thing about FIFA, it's a country-wide thing. It's not
going
to fall this threat.
That's another big part of the problem, though, because like for this World Cup, they built that one stadium where they're going to play four games in the middle of the Amazon's armpit.
In the middle of the jungle.
A city much, much too small to have its own team. That will never be used again. They spent millions making that thing.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, FIFA has this record. There's, like, made them change rights special laws. So FIFA doesn't pay any taxes in any countries.
They
don't
make you
pay
rewrite laws. Like, Brazil won't let you sell beer at their games.
Yeah, you're not allowed to.
Because,
but
a lot
FIFA games have to be able to sell Budweiser.
Yeah, Budweiser's one of their corporate sponsors.
Yep.
So...
But no, you can't blame them.
We were just gushing on the World Cup. FIFA is evil.
FIFA is evil.
All right.
But here's what I'm
going to
say, guys.
Beautiful.
I've gone to the Olympics.
It's such a balanced competition.
But I've gone to the World Cup, and that is easily one of the greatest sporting events to go. But what did you see at the Olympics?
I just wish
what did you see at the Olympics?
Like,
exactly. I saw nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Was another if you go to where an American is diving, it's going to be awesome. Or swimming. Or
yeah.
where there's a gold
go the
contender.
Right
yeah, when there's
that's
a gold contender who is an American, it's going
to
be freaking
Olympic
awesome.
Hockey,
I love Olympic hockey, dude.
Olympic hockey is awesome.
It's the shit.
But
Olympic basketball, too, is
Olympic
not
basketball,
shabby.
I've seen both.
What are you saying? You just don't enjoy
the
heart pounding, thrilling, rhythmic gymnastics?
No, I don't. I like it
now. Curling,
the heart pounding.
I actually love curling.
Oh,
God.
All right.
I think he's fixing
so,
to wrap
yeah.
anyway.
We probably should wrap, yeah.
We should wrap.
Final thoughts,
best idea for a beer commercial.
Hold on, I got my final thought. I didn't want to watch it, but I started watching it. I mentioned it earlier off the podcast, but it's got horrible writing, this show. The acting is so good, but it's like a freaking train wreck. I can't quit watching Sons of Anarchy. Sam Crow has got his talons in my heart, and I can't quit watching the show. If you've ever given it a thought... Go watch Sons of Anarchy.
You still got some Ron Perlman good.
Oh, dude,
yeah.
Ron Perlman's
FYI, their biker club symbol is the base is ripped off from two Tennessee biker clubs.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't ripped off. They got permission.
No, it's a merger of two.
But they got permission from both of those clubs to do that. The dude who's a writer is like an old school biker guy. Yeah, I'm way into Sons of Anarchy. I went to the wiki. I'm all over it. Go ahead, Jules.
Wow.
I know. I can't. I don't even want to admit it, but I can't help it.
It pulls in.
Sucked me in, man.
It does.
follow that.
Follow that up.
Yeah.
Gee. Okay. How I will follow it is, if you did not read the last issue of Moon Knight, you don't have to read any other issue. It was the most entertaining 30 pages I've read.
Issue 6?
It's like issue 5.
Oh, so
think
one
of
this,
so
the last Warren Ellis issue?
Yes, yeah, the last Warren Ellis
issue.
Oh,
so it's the end of Moon Knight.
Okay, so think... Shut up.
It is.
Think about...
What are they gonna do
Game
now?
Of Death,
it's gonna be
Pagoda.
They're not going to be able to pull off what Warren Ellis has pulled off.
What was it? The Protector's Pagoda. It was Moon Knight going up each floor and fighting a different person. The art is incredible.
The art's cool. The art is...
The art's some stuff that I really like.
It's not new,
but if you look... I look... Game of Death...
Oh, that's a great analogy.
But it was like Game of Death's Pagoda.
Yeah.
He went up each little floor to save this little girl.
I like that art style that he
that
uses.
That's a book I'm going to have to check out and trade, I think.
Yeah, and by all means, this is the best way to end the trade. If you've never read an issue of Moon Knight, this is a quintessential issue of what the character is like, what he loves to do.
This whole Warren Ellis run has kind of been the defining run of the character, though, really.
And so, it's been nothing but one-shots. It's a phenomenal issue. I think it's already going to second printings. I think you can still
sure
get
it is. Yeah.
An
I'm
issue
sure you can
here
still
at
get
Comic
all
City
those.
Too, though. But yeah. I definitely recommend it. Declan Shelby's art in this issue is incredible.
I love that.
There's
guy's
almost
name.
No words. Warren Ellis has almost nothing to do with this
but
issue.
But he's still plotting it, though.
He's still plotting, yeah.
But he's not just writing dialogue.
Awesome.
All right, Taylor.
Taylor, final thoughts.
Before the podcast began, I got a little crestfallen because I done got fooled by a months-old April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
Apparently it's like recirculating around. I feel like that's a bit of an excuse for me because like it's not April, so I wasn't on guard for an April Fool's joke about them shooting bits of Batman, Superman movie here in Nashville because we have the Batman building.
Never going to make that the Wayne Enterprises HQ is what the article said.
If you think about it, it would have been a little stupid because like it's kind of like advertising, hey, I'm Batman.
Hey, I'm Batman. Yeah.
That's how big my ego is.
But yeah, I just saw it and immediately was like, yes, all right. And then, yeah, we got fooled.
Shame. Yeah, I didn't read the article, but I saw that and I was going to ask y'all about that.
Yeah, it was April Fool's from, not even this past April, like a year ago, April, man.
Well, it couldn't have been that long ago. How long has it been since Ben Affleck got cast?
A year.
Has it been
over a year?
Has it been over a year and a half?
Well, Kevin Smith been punking people with like a leaked script.
When did when did Superman Man of Steel come out? Because it was a month after
2 years
that.
Ago.
No,
it was not a month
year before that.
No, it was like really shortly. I don't.
It was back when the
I may be wrong.
Man
it may
Steel
just be
was
past April, but that seems like really not that long.
Another interesting April Fool's was the fake leaked Star Wars footage. And of course that was just well done.
Yeah,
even though you know he says it's fake, it's still worth watching.
Oh, speaking of Star Wars, I watched a thing. It was like a student film. It's called like Retribution.
It wasn't bad at all.
It was actually really well made. The effects were good. The fight scenes were well choreographed. The guy who made it was one of the wide receivers for the Georgia Bulldogs, named like Chris Conley or something.
Yeah, I didn't get.
I forget
that,
his name, but like he was a very good villain.
What, it was like a fan film.
Yeah, it's a fan film. It's called Retribution.
It's
look
a
up,
student
like,
film.
Georgia Bulldogs Retribution Star Wars. Yeah.
At this point, you could probably just Google Star Wars fan film, and it'll be the high one of the highest because it's really booming right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's really making the rounds.
It's like 26 minutes long, but it's worth it.
That's awesome. Saw this yesterday. There's a short film called Lessons Learned. It's live it's live action puppets, like in the style of The Dark Crystal
and The Black Hole
and the
Labyrinth. Labyrinth is the big one here because the guy who made it
is the son of Brian Froud.
Well, he's the son of the people who made it, and he is himself Toby from the movie.
Yeah. But also associated with this project.
I saw that.
Also associated with this project is Heather Henson, who is the youngest child of Jim Henson.
She gave her stamp of approval and all that.
Oh, wow. That's going to be awesome. But I saw it posted, but I came here. I
saw a trailer for it, and I was just like, this is.
I heard the puppet work was just amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
It looks like something enormous and elaborate.
Awesome.
It's beautiful.
Awesome.
Check it out. What is it? Lessons Learned.
Oh. Lessons Learned, the new puppet thing, Labyrinth.
That's the kid.
Toby. Just come down here to the comic book shop.
I don't know his name, but
Toby.
Come to the comic book shop and have a great time.
His parents
were. What are you talking about? The Water Challenge?
We're talking over Steve's final.
Sorry, Steve.
Well, I'm done. I make mine easy.
All right. So, the Cold Water Challenge.
We're doing that
apparently
Tuesday.
The Outright Geek Crew is doing that next Tuesday. All right. Also, end of the month, signing with Josh Baylock, CEO and founder of Devil Do Entertainment / Devil Do Publishing. You might know Devil's Do from the original publishers of Hack Slash.
Mm-hmm.
You might know just Josh Baylock from titles like G.I. Joe, Micronauts, or Mercy Sparks.
His Micronauts were awesome.
He'll be here 4 to 7 last Saturday in July. Check it out. We'll have an interview with him after that that we'll post online at Outright Geekery. All right, that's all for this episode. See you next week.
Later.
Bye, Elaine?
What? Oh, good night, Elaine. Man, I'm sorry.
Slacking. We're trying to hand it off to you. Slacking.
We've undermined you this many times. We figured we'd be done.
Is this what Sunspot we're going to get done? Yes, it is. I'm going to work on that today.
Cool.
Because I'm